Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Shout out to our friends in San Diego, 97.3 The Fan. Just talked to Nick Friedel, Odyssey NBA insider. And he called in because he's in San Diego listening to 97.3 The Fan. And the Bart Winkler Show was on, and so we connected. So, San Diego, you've done it again, you wonderful city, you. Although the one time I've been to San Diego, the one time, it was a four-day trip. It rained three of the days. I was told that that never happens. So I guess I have to go back. Now, it's been a while. I went for a Chargers game. I apologize to bring that up. But I did check out Petco Park. And crush some beers at Dick's Last Resort, if that's still around. Had some fish tacos and did all the thing and then got poured on and brought no, I was just in t-shirts. So I was colder there than like my trip to Buffalo. Another place I've been, because I'm a world traveler, is Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is cool. Pittsburgh's a cool city. Pittsburgh's a great sports city. These are the cities I like going to the most. These Rust Belt, like, deeply American in terms of this city was built on the backs of hard labor.
We're off the shizzle.
You know, with families that are proud to be not just in their country, but in their, they're proud to be from Pittsburgh.
I'm here with my family.
That's what they're proud of, this city. That's why I love Milwaukee so much. Because Milwaukee's a flawed, weird, kooky, small, huge place. But it's ours. And so I want to make sure that at the top of every hour, the little information that we give you in the open. I heard one radio station today. I was listening to a show on a... The open was like 7 minutes. It was like, and now here's Fart Brains and Poop Face. And Twins. It's just like, come on, man. Get to the show. These guys show up 6 minutes late and sit down and just have a 4 minute segment before their next overproduced open carries the rest of the way. But Pittsburgh, I had a great time there. It's like the best drive into a city imaginable. You can't see it at all. There's mountains, tunnels, and then you get in, and it's there, and it's beautiful. And it's a great sports town. It is a great sports town. Love their Steelers. Love their Penguins. And they love their Pirates. They love their Pirates. And there's been a lot of talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates specifically this week because there hasn't been a lot of people at the games. Now, April baseball is one thing. I understand. April baseball, it's, you know, even at the Brewers game this afternoon, I went to that. There was about 22,000 people announced. There weren't that many there. It's the middle of the day on a Wednesday. And Pittsburgh in April is not the warmest place in the world. But so far, nobody has been going to these games. What do we have here for attendance? It's all under 9,000 people. It was under 9,000 on Wednesday. It was 8,300. On Tuesday, their fourth game of the season with a paid attendance below 9,000. All of last season, they only had one game with a paid attendance below 9,000. Now, that's an important word to tack on there, paid attendance, because that's what I just said about the Brewers. The paid attendance was 22,000 people. 22,000 people were not at the ballpark that I was at today. The paid attendance at some of these Pittsburgh games is 9,000 people. unless they're all sitting above the press box in one section in this picture that I'm looking at, taken by Noah Hiles, beat writer with the Post-Gazette. I don't even know that there's 1,000 people there. So paid attendance, you know, people will get tickets on the cheap, or these are any tickets that count as like season tickets that are unused or unsold. These are, you know, whether local gas station has a promotion, they buy up some tickets. Maybe they haven't distributed all of them. Maybe they give them out in terms of like a sponsor trade-off. All these count as paid attendance. There's some sort of payment that went into the ticket. So that's paid attendance. So we're already at, with tonight now, 5 games under 9,000. And what people are going to do when they look at these pictures is they're going to look at these pictures and they're going to say, oh man, Pittsburgh doesn't care about their baseball team. Pittsburgh doesn't care about the Pirates. Look at Pittsburgh being bad fans. They don't deserve a team. If you can't support a team, why should there even be a team there? That's what people, I think, are going to say. Why do I think that that's what people are going to say? Well, because that's what people did say when a situation played out in Oakland where John Fisher, over the course of 15 to 20 years, slowly but surely disassembled systematically any reason of will or want for an Oakland Athletics fan to go to watch an Oakland Athletics game. You would go there. The ticket prices would be raised year after year. The amenities at the stadium never improved. Repairs, broken chairs, rundown bathrooms, nothing good to look at, nothing to see. The product on the field, terrible, did not care. No special fun promotions, nothing. They've already tried harder in Sacramento to offer ticket deals for fans to get people there than they ever did in Oakland, at least in the last 10 years. And one of the things that really bothered me about how that situation was allowed to play out was that it was allowed to play out by the owners because nobody voted against it. Nobody voted against their move. They wanted to move and the owner said, sure, that's your team, you want to move. And what bothered me about that then and what bothers me now is I don't think the owners were voting in the best interest of John Fisher. He wasn't like, hey, I want to move my team. Can you guys scratch my back on this one? I think they saw what John Fisher did and thought, interesting. If we slowly but surely tear down the desires of our fans to root for our team, we could then be justified to move. The court of public opinion weighs large. I think there's a lot of people that are anti-John Fisher. And as a footnote, there's a lot more to it than that. There's city council versus government versus whatever. And that is all a part of it. But the evidence in what John Fisher did, he did not put anything into his team. And he was not trying to enhance his experience in Oakland for anybody. He was trying to leave. Now, maybe if they gave him a bunch of money that he didn't have to pony up, okay, twist my arm, I'll stay. But he's been trying to leave, and he doesn't really have anywhere to go. They're not even sure they're going to play in Sacramento next year. There's a possibility they have to play in Oakland again. I mean, that would be absurd. If they do make the playoffs, those games are probably going to be in San Francisco. None of this makes sense. And they want to build a stadium in Vegas, which I'm not sure is even happening. And now that's been delayed. But I think what the owners looked at was, hey, that's something that he did that if we need to do that down the road, we're not going to scold him. We're going to learn from him. He's giving us a blueprint on how to systematically destroy a fan base. And earlier in the season, sure, it's cold, it's April, school nights. I've heard it all. And I get it all. But then look at what the Pittsburgh Pirates have been up to the last few years. 78 wins, 72 wins, 61 wins. Their last winning season was 2018. Their last playoff season was 2015. I tell an anecdote a lot where I was covering the Milwaukee Brewers. One season I was covering the Milwaukee Brewers, like I would go to the clubhouse each and every day and have to get like pregame audio. And one day they were playing the Pirates. And they were playing the Pirates, and I believe, I'm just trying to double check that I have the right year, because I was in the Pirates locker room right before the trade deadline. Yeah, the Pirates were in town. And Mark Melancon had gotten traded at the time. He was their closer. He'd been with them for quite a little bit. And the Pirates were 52-50 at the time. This is 2016. They're 52-50. And Melancon gets traded. He's there, so reporters can talk to him. And there was a distinct difference between the clubhouse on the first game I was at and the clubhouse on the second game I was at. Because I was in there Friday and everyone's like, you know, bouncing around pregame stuff. And then he gets traded Saturday. And it was a complete deflation. And what had happened was the Pirates were being basically told, even with a winning record, we're not interested in competing. We're interested in trading pieces off. They had been in the playoffs the last 3 years. They hadn't been able to get past the NLDS. In 2013, they went to the NLDS, lost to the Cardinals via the wild card game, which they then were in against the Giants and Cubs the next 2 years. And then in 2016, they've got a winning record at the trade deadline. They trade their closer, end up finishing 78-83, missing the playoffs entirely, and they haven't been back since. And this is the thing about trade deadlines. The thing about trade deadlines is you can get better, you can get worse, but the biggest tell for how the second part of your season is going to go is you get a clear message from ownership what they think of you. You get a clear message from your front office if they believe in you or not. If we're humming along and we're 52-50 and, you know, we trade for this big slugging first baseman that's on a team that's struggling and he's coming in, it's like, whoa, they're giving us a piece here. They think that we've got something cooking. But if you're chugging along and you're right at the, you know, 500 mark and, you know, it could go either way, you're not sure, but certainly you don't think you're going to be super buyers, but you're not going to be sellers. No way. You got a winning record. And then you start trading guys. The deflation of the Pittsburgh Pirates clubhouse was felt immediately. They ended up getting swept in that series by the Brewers. And at one point went on a 8-game losing streak and having a losing record the rest of the way. Bob Nutting, the owner of the Pirates in charge. The reason I bring this up is to piggyback off of what Jeff Passan told Chris Rose on his Baseball Today podcast. Passan has been, I'm appreciating what Jeff Passan's been doing. Passan's been using his platform for good. For some reason, the history of Jackie Robinson was being scrubbed from websites. He led the charge to get that back on. The Oakland A's have been a disaster moving to Sacramento. He has been outspoken about the mess of that situation. And he is now taking it upon himself, MLB writer, ESPN, to say, hey, what you're seeing in Pittsburgh is not normal. Don't blame the fans.
The Pirates this offseason spent $19.95 million on free agent signings when they have a generational pitcher, a guy who I think if he stays healthy is going to be a Hall of Famer in Paul Skeens. And coming into the year, they have Jones and they have Chandler and on and on. Like, they've got arms. I've seen what PNC Park looks like when it's full and when it's raucous and when Pittsburgh fans are showing out and have a reason to show out. And it's magical. And those Pirates fans deserve more than they have right now. And if you're just looking at it straight from a leverage perspective, how do we leverage the roster that we have? How do we leverage our opportunity? You can't look at this as a one-year thing. You have to look at this down the road. And if we have Paul Skeens right now, why aren't we doing absolutely everything we can to build around him and to build something that's worthy of the pitcher that he is? The Pirates don't have to be who they are right now. I went and looked yesterday on Forbes at its baseball valuations to see what's the Pirates' revenue last year. I believe it was $326 million. You know who else is in sort of that area, like $5 million range of revenues? The Arizona Diamondbacks, whose payroll is $188 million. The Kansas City Royals, whose payroll is $134 million. The Minnesota Twins, whose payroll is $147 million. The Brewers are in there. There are a couple other teams in that bucket, all of whom have nine-figure payrolls. There is zero, Chris, zero reason that the Pirates need to operate how they operate. It is a choice, and it's a choice that's insulting to fans. It's a choice that's insulting to the game. It's a choice that's insulting to the players in that clubhouse who deserve better.
Now, that quote was getting shared around Pirates fans today, and a lot of them, well, some were like, we already know this. But to get this amplified is what you need to do. You need voices to help amplify what's going on there. Because otherwise, you're going to see low attendance. And then people like me get on here, not have any other understanding of the situation, look at the pictures and be like, geez, why is there a team in Pittsburgh? They should go, you know, somewhere. That's what happens. That's by design. That's what happens. There's a guy who has covered baseball for a long time I got in a fight with because when the A's moved, he said, I don't see what the big deal is. They can just be Giants fans. That's not how that works. But that's the perception that happens. And baseball, more than any other sport, it's a national sport, but we're very focused on our regional teams. If this was happening with a football team, we'd be like, why is ownership doing this? How much heat has Jimmy Haslam got for Deshaun Watson when he paid that guy? Like, you could argue he was trying to win. It was a terrible decision, but you could argue he was trying to win. But we're all aware of that because we all know everything that happens with every football team ever. With baseball, we don't see it until something big happens. Nobody knows anything that's going on. Like, what's going on in the MLB this year? I don't know. I don't know what's happening with too many specific individual teams. I know that Mets fans are sad about Juan Soto only having three home runs. I know that Braves fans think that the end is near. I know that the Yankees have torpedo bats. But I know everything about the Milwaukee Brewers, that they traded a international slot or one of their young prospects and one of their compensatory picks for Quinn Priester from the Red Sox. I know that. And then I know that they traded for Dax Cameron, who is filling out their minor league depth at AAA Nashville. I know all those things. But that's what happens in baseball. And these moves that the Brewers make, like Jose Quintana pitched today for them, and he had a really nice game. And he didn't cost a lot of money. He's at the back end of his career. But the Brewers are in the same kind of like revenue input as the Pirates. And what I always say about the Brewers is I don't believe I'll ever see the Milwaukee Brewers win a World Series in my lifetime. I just do not think it's ever going to happen. based on the luck of that team. They're cursed for some reason. I don't know if it's because they held a parade for the 1982 team that lost the World Series, actually blew a 3-2 lead. They held a parade for them because of the special bond with the city or something. They actually just made a new movie about it that was like released last month. This is a team from 43 years ago that lost the World Series. I mean, that's weird. But that's what we do. But they still try. They still put out there a belief in their fans, like they're trying to win. And a lot of bounces would have to go Milwaukee's way for them to ever win a World Series. And maybe that's true with Pittsburgh. But one of the bounces they got is they got Paul Skeens. When you get a guy like Paul Skeens, you start to build around a guy like Paul Skeens. Otherwise, what's going to happen one year? They're going to be 52-50 at the break, and he's going to get traded the last year before his contract's up, and then he'll go sign somewhere else and make a bunch of money, because who thinks he's signing a multi-year extension in Pittsburgh? And that's unfortunate, and that's a problem. There are only 30 of these franchises in most every sport, 32 in football. And there's way too large of a percentage of owners that don't seem to care to win. And in fact, would almost rather lose than win. Because they still think you're coming and giving them money. And then when you don't, it's not because they're bad owners that don't put into their team. It's because you are a bad fan. You decided, as you put your budget together, that $200 for a night out at the park to watch a team that can't even invest more than $19 million in its offseason, you made that decision not to go. It's your fault. You're a bad fan. We leave. I don't know if that's the end game in Pittsburgh. I don't think it is, but it is an ownership with Bob Nutting, who is purposely being bad and not giving Pittsburgh fans what they deserve. Or at least not giving them... I can't promise a winner, but he's not even trying. So good on Jeff Passan, and as a result, good on me for spending time on it. 888-710-4ISN. We'll be back. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Good to be with you. Carlos Ortiz alongside. Marco Belletti on the updates. Some odds came out today. I like to look at odds and tell you about the odds and then tell you what I think is going to happen and then not bet on the odds. I wish there was somewhere I could get back in March. Remember when training camp opened in March? That didn't happen. What I meant to say was free agency. When free agency opened in March, Adam Schefter was crying into his cereal that Aaron Rodgers hadn't signed yet.
What are you waiting for, Aaron?
Did you think? No, that wasn't me. I played that. That was a direct piece of audio that I played. So in these playoff odds, there's playoff odds that have come out. And I wish I could have bet that Rodgers would still be unsigned by now. As I said, and I still don't think he's going to sign until the summer. Well, I guess if he signs at all, the bit of Rodgers news today is that he may not sign at all. Aaron Rodgers was reported as, at least the report from CBS, that he is more likely to retire than sign with a team that's not a Super Bowl contender. Steelers are still the favorites to sign the veteran quarterback, but have not heard an update since a meeting on March 21st. And I will keep saying what I've been saying. I don't think he signs until later in the summer. He doesn't want to do any of this stuff. Usually when somebody signs right away, they want to, quote, get to work, unquote. He doesn't want to get to work. He wants to play football, but he doesn't want to do all the things leading up to that. He just wants to play football. And if he does all the things leading up to that, each and every practice, each and every meeting, he's letting more of the coach dictate how things are going to be. If he can swoop in August, well, he can just play Aaron Rodgers ball. Maybe acquiesce a little bit, but you know what you're signing up for. Or he doesn't sign with the Steelers, doesn't think they're going to win a Super Bowl. So he waits until maybe somebody gets hurt. Or the Vikings do come calling around. But for that reason, so that was the Aaron Rodgers news today. Was that news? Did he sign somewhere? No. So then is it anything different than what it's been? It's not. But for that reason, there are no playoff percentage will they, won't they odds out on the Steelers. Because they think it's going to sway it one way or the other. The teams that have the highest percentage of chances to make the playoffs, the Buffalo Bills, this is just to make the playoffs, have an 87% chance to make the postseason. The Baltimore Ravens are at 2 with an 85% chance to make the postseason. The Eagles are 3 with an 82% chance to make the postseason. You think these maybe should be higher? Maybe not. But then the Kansas City Chiefs are an 80% chance to make the postseason, and that's the first thing that I looked at based on Carlos's claim that they will not make the playoffs, similar to my claim that the Niners wouldn't a year ago. I did not, again, my problem is no one in the business respects me. But my real problem is that I keep saying things that are right and I don't make any money off them. So are you going to lay any cheese?
I should. And you know what? I will. I'm going to fully commit to this Chiefs missing the playoffs because it's not a bit. You know, I don't want to say things just to, you know, rage bait and get clicks. I firmly believe, nay, I know the Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs. So I need to put my money where my mouth is. Yeah, so I will put some cheese on that taco, and I will go, you know, further than what you did on your claims. I'm going to start making a paper trail. I'm going to post stuff. I'm going to snapshot stuff. I'm going to make it clear that when the Chiefs miss the playoffs this upcoming season, everyone is going to know you heard it here first.
The odds are 80%, so if you break that out to try to make money, it's yes minus 400, no plus 300, which I feel like is sort of low. You're saying the Kansas City Chiefs won't make the playoffs, but if you put $100 on it, you only get $300?
Yeah, that sounds fishy. Like, it's not worth the investment.
No, it's really not.
A 17-week, 18-week investment just to get an extra, what, 200 and something dollars? No, I don't like it.
Like, I want to bet on Shedeur Sanders going third to the Giants. It's plus 475. So that's 100 to win 475? I feel like I could get more than that. Plus, I keep saying 100. The most I've been debating, because I can't do it on my phone in Wisconsin. I have to stop at the casino. I've been debating if I was going to go there and put $10 on it to win 47. So that's what I've been debating about. Because I'm trying to find over 3.5 quarterbacks. Because I keep saying I think 4 will get taken. But all I can find is over 2.5. And the odds on that aren't even, I think they're minus odds. Because I think people do expect it. That's what happened with me. With the Eagles. I said Eagles blowout Super Bowl. But the alternate line at a 12-point victory, the odds weren't good enough. I'm going out there on a limb. I should make more money. So that's why I ended up at minus 19 to make a boatload of money. And then the Steelers won by 18. Or the Eagles did, won by 18, which is still one of the great injustices of my life.
Yeah, shout out Kenny Pickett. We have breaking news. Do you want me to do the squawk sound, or can I just tell you what happened?
At 12:35?
Yes, they're like, and I'm not kidding, there's actual breaking news.
Okay, so my first guess was a no-hitter. My real guess is Billy Donovan fired?
No, but you're on the right track. The Sacramento Kings have parted ways with general manager Monty McNair.
Oh, okay.
McNair spent five seasons with the Kings. He won NBA Executive of the Year in 2023 when Sacramento went 48-34. Well, they, you know, didn't make the playoffs, or rather they, you know, they lost in the play-in game. So McNair is out and the Kings will be looking for a new general manager.
And they, who's coaching them right now? They an interim coach?
Doug Christie, I believe. I mean, this is a team that looked at what the Bulls did and say, hey, that's a good idea. Let's do that. Let's get Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan.
Well, like I told Nick earlier, when you they've been trying, they just don't get guys that are good enough.
Right, right. Like Sabonis is a nice player, but you know, he was cold. He did absolutely nothing in this game. And I know De'Aaron
Fox
didn't
trade Halliburton.
Exactly. And I know De'Aaron Fox he forced his way out. Like, he wanted to go play with Wemby. He's like, get me out of Sacramento. But like, the players that they brought in were just like huge question marks. And this is what you get. You get an easy exit. No more light the beam. I think we could shut the beam down for a while.
Look, when you lose to the team that Nico Harrison assembled for a chance to go to the playoffs, you probably should.
Yeah.
Lose your job. I was onto something too. Every time I looked over at the TV, they were showing him. Like, the joke tonight is they show him more than Taylor Swift got showed on any CBS broadcast ever. So if you're mad about Taylor Swift being too much on your TV, they basically had a Nico Harrison cam tonight. Well, Kings lose the game and lose their general manager. Interesting. Interesting stuff. An update on everything else going on. Again, you can call in 888-710 for ISN. Oh, lowest percent to win or make the playoffs, by the way, is Giants. It is the Giants, 11%. That is the lowest.
I hate those odds.
888-710-4476. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Coming up next, the Pat Boyle Show. Nah, not just Pat Boyle. The Pat Boyle Show. He will be with you after us for the next 4 hours, for the next foreseeable future. Can he get that one? Give him that one.
Should I? It's yours.
No, give him as a housewarming present.
Hey, Pat, we got you something.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that idea. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I was thinking about giving him Barry in Boston, but we can keep Barry. What's up, Barry?
Not much, buddy. Hey, you were talking about Pittsburgh Pirates. I went there 3 years ago for this time exactly, April vacation next week. And it was at the end of COVID, and it was awesome. It was only like maybe 5,000 or 6,000 people at the game. That park is absolutely gorgeous. Pittsburgh is gorgeous. If anyone ever wants to go to some city that's affordable, not Boston, go to Pittsburgh. It's wonderful. It's a beautiful city. Stayed at the Renaissance. Everything was beautiful. You could walk to the park. It was awesome. They went to extra innings. I don't know who they played, but it was awesome. And they won, and they had fireworks after. It was a big celebration. So, I love Pittsburgh. I've only been there once, and I don't like the Steelers.
Did you think it was awesome, or was it just okay?
No, it was awesome.
Awesome,
absolutely awesome.
Just making
great, sure. Great city. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to talk about me getting into a car accident while I was in Pittsburgh? That was 100% my fault. Or do you want to talk about something else to do with sports? That's up to you. You're the boss.
The call screener says Pirates. So far, all you've done is say the word awesome 15 times in 35 seconds.
Well, Pittsburgh's a great city. I've never been to a Steelers game, but I've only been to Pittsburgh once. It's really, really good. The weather's terrible.
Do you got anything sports? Do you just call to say Pittsburgh is awesome? I don't want to hear about the car accident, honestly.
No, I know. It was 100% my fault.
Don't want to hear about it.
All right. Hockey. Can we talk about hockey without you pressing the red button or the green button or the black button, whatever the dump button is? I don't know what
I already pressed it.
It was awesome.
Barry. Okay, I thought we were getting to a good spot with Barry. Yeah, hockey, the playoffs start. Do we want to go over the hockey playoffs?
It was awesome.
You got that covered? They still have, what, another game of... They got to finish out the regular season?
Yeah, they got to finish out the regular season, but we're set up on the East and West. Like the Canadiens got the last wild card spot, and so we're all good there.
Okay. Any other insight that we should deliver, or...?
No, I think the series of intrigue is going to be... you know, how far Dallas is going to go because they got a bunch of injuries. I kept calling them the most balanced team in hockey basically for the last 2 months. That's something to keep an eye on. But I think once we get into the swing of the playoffs, I'll be excited. The East is going to be a snore. It's really just going to be Washington kind of skating through.
How far is Edmonton going to go?
Second round.
Oh.
Yeah, they're not going back to the Stanley Cup. There's too many good teams in the West. So, I mean, they have anybody coming out of the West is going to be in for a dogfight because it's really loaded. Vegas is good. Winnipeg
is
one wire.
So this is just like the NBA on ice.
Pretty much. Like no joke. Literally in the East, it's the Capitals and then everybody else. In the West, you got the Jets, you got the Golden Knights, you got the Stars, the Avalanche. Like, it's loaded in the West. So that, to me, is going to be, like, the finals, the Western Conference Finals. That's going to be the Stanley Cup.
All right.
Because I don't even think the Capitals are all that great. Like, you know, they haven't been playing well for the last, you know, week or two. So it's been masked because of Ovechkin getting the scoring record, but they're kind of limping a little bit. But they'll still win the East.
We got the Capitals versus the Canadiens. We got the Hurricanes versus the Devils. We've got the Maple Leafs versus the Senators and the Lightning versus the Panthers. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull for a Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup. They have not done that in, what, 32 years?
Yeah, your best bet is Winnipeg.
Winnipeg Jets versus St. Louis Blues. Dallas Stars versus Colorado Avalanche. The Golden Knights versus the Wild. And the Kings versus the Edmonton Oilers.
It was awesome.
Is that every Canadian team, or are we missing one or two? Which Canadian team didn't get in? A lot of them got in.
Calgary, I believe, didn't. They just missed it, if I'm not mistaken. I'll take a look at the standings real quick.
Yeah, I think that might be it. Canucks.
Yeah, Vancouver, that's right.
All right, well, they got a decent shot, so good luck to them. The NBA that we saw tonight, we saw the Mavericks beat the Kings. Just saw some video of Anthony Davis saying, go home early and beat traffic. That is so beneath him for where he could be and where he is. As they go into Sacramento, beat the Kings 120-106. So the Kings are done. They fired their GM a half hour ago. I don't know what the future is there. This Bulls West was never going to be a good idea because Bulls East was a horrific idea as well. Dallas is going to play Memphis, and that game is going to be on Friday. So playoff spots are on the line. It's the 8th seed. Whoever wins that game is playing the Thunder. The Hawks are hosting the Heat. Whoever wins that game is going to play the Cavaliers. I guess I would take the Heat. We've seen what they can do in the play-in tournament. I would think they would be the favorite for me. Mavericks and Grizzlies. The Grizzlies finished 9 games better than Dallas. And Dallas, I think these players can kind of get motivated to say, the city wants to love us. They're mad at the team, but we can give them something to still love Mavericks basketball about. the fact that there's this Tim McMahon story at ESPN about Dirk and Mark Cuban that he has said he's not going to release until after they're eliminated. I mean, what might be in there could turn Mavs fans on the organization forever. So maybe just this last ride here. We'll see. Thanks to Nick Friedel. He joined us, our Odyssey NBA insider. Thanks to Sam Bruckhaus of Sumer Sports, Carlos Ortiz, Marco Belletti, and all of you. We'll be back tomorrow night with the Bartometer at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 Pacific. Pat Boyle up next. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.